I have often wondered what God looks like. The scripture gives us some fleeting ideas as to God's form, but nothing really concrete. In the first chapter of Genesis, we do not get a description of God, but we do learn that God has a voice. God speaks creation into existence. And later in that chapter, we learn that God created humanity in His image. Move forward a few chapters to the story of Adam and Eve. After the fruit has been eaten, we learn that Adam and Eve hear the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze. So God has a physical form, or is capable of taking one on and walking. Moses asks to see God's face and is told that such a sight would kill him. However, God allows Moses to look upon his back as he walks past. However, we don't read that God will walk past. Rather, what's written is that God's glory will pass by, and Moses will look upon his back. So it leaves us wondering, just what does God look like? Does our being formed in God's image mean that God has arms and legs? Or is that passage from Genesis referring to something spiritual in our formation? Hollywood would tell us that God looks like George Burns or Morgan Freeman. Of course, we can say that God looks like a human. We can point to Jesus and say that this is what God looks like, at least God in the form of the Son. In our story this morning, Jesus is up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John. And we read that a change came over Jesus. Other versions read that Jesus became transfigured. His clothes become dazzling white. What does it mean to be transfigured? What exactly was this change? Not being up on that mountain and having the same access as you do to the text, I can only assume that at that moment, the change that came over Jesus displayed His divine power. That in that moment, Jesus, God with us, became closer to God the Father. That Peter, James, and John witnessed the glory of Christ. Then a voice from the cloud states, "This is My own dear Son, listen to Him." Listen to Him. That's what God has to say at this moment when Jesus is surrounded in dazzling light. Listen to Him. Have you ever met brand new parents? They're holding that precious new child. Is the first words out of your mouth, "Listen to him or her"? Or is it, "Look at him, look at her. Aren't they cute? Isn't he beautiful? Isn't she wonderful?" Perhaps we get comparisons. "He has your eyes. Oh, she looks so much like her mom." What we do not normally hear is, "Listen to him," unless they're making that cute, gooing, laughing noise. Yet this is what God does. Jesus has been transfigured. He is radiant. For all intents and purposes, He is on display to Peter, James, and John. And what we are told is that we should listen to Him. Listen to him. Do what he says. Now, three people say something in this passage. Peter says something, God says something, and Jesus says something. Peter says, "Teacher, how good it is that we are here. We will make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." God says, "This is my own dear son. Listen to him." And Jesus says, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from death." Let's consider what each of these individuals are saying. Peter is with Jesus. And in the previous chapter, he has declared Jesus to be the Messiah. However, he wants to stay up on that mountain with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He wants to build a house for them to live away from the world. And after saying this, we read that James and John and him are confounded. They don't know what to say. Well, you can well imagine. Peter often gets painted in a poor light in this passage. But if you were on a mountain with Jesus, who you believe to be the Messiah, and two of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament showed up, and Jesus was bathed in brilliant light, what would you do? You'd bow down and worship. You might not want to leave. So I don't think we should be too hard on Peter. Now next comes the words from God. "This is my son. Listen to him." Listen to him and do what he says. He teaches the truth about my law, about how I should be understood. So let's hold on to those words that God has said. Listen to him. As we move on to Jesus. So there we are on the mountain. Jesus is there. Peter, John, and James with him. They know Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is transfigured and bathed in light. Moses and Elijah show up and talk to Jesus. The cloud rolls in. The voice from the cloud says, "This is my son. Listen to him." And afterwards, Jesus is the only one there. Moses and Elijah are gone. And they go down the mountain. And Jesus, he says, and this is important what he says, isn't it? Because God has just told us that we're supposed to listen to Jesus. So what he says is important. Jesus says, "Tell no one what you have seen until the Son of Man has risen from the dead." Do not tell people what you have seen. Which makes me wonder what we need to do with what we have heard. The only thing we know for sure that the disciples have heard are the words from God. "This is my son. Listen to him." So let's put ourselves in the position of Peter, James, and John. We're not allowed to tell anyone of what we have just seen. However, we can talk about what we've heard. The question is, how should we do it? We have just come down from the mountaintop experience. We are excited, we are elated, and we are probably confused. So how do we share what we have heard? Do we find the first soapbox we can and declare it for all to hear? "This is God's Son. Listen to him." Or is there another way to be heard? Do we need to only listen with our ears? A remarkable story is told immediately after this one. Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they join the other disciples. And a crowd gathers and a father asks Jesus to heal his son. And when Jesus drives out that spirit, he says to the spirit, "You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out." So let's put it all together in sequence. God says, "Listen to Jesus. He is my son." Jesus, who we are to listen to, says, "Don't talk about what you have seen." Jesus then drives a spirit out of a boy so that the boy can hear and speak. How do we talk about Jesus? We talk about Jesus by doing the things we have seen. We do the things we are not allowed to talk about. Jesus doesn't want us to go around bragging about the things he has done. Jesus doesn't need us to declare his glory. Not that we shouldn't declare his glory. Jesus needs us to do the work of the kingdom. Because doing the work of the kingdom declares his glory. So friends, rather than telling the world that Jesus came to heal us and set us free, let us, you and me, go out into the world and heal people and set them free in Jesus' name. That is what mountaintop experiences are about. They are transformative. They move us from one state of being to the next. So today, on the doorstep of Lent, at the beginning of the journey towards Jerusalem, staring the cross in the face, and knowing the promise of the resurrection, let's be transformative together. Let's talk about Jesus by doing the work of the kingdom. Let's talk about Jesus by healing people. Let's talk about Jesus by feeding people, visiting them, loving people. Let's do it in a way that forces people to sit up. I like the way you all just sort of sat up there. Let's do it in a way that forces people to sit up and take notice. That shakes them out of their complacency and makes them ask, "In whose name do we do these things?" Then when they ask, we can tell them that we do these things in the name of Jesus. And we can share the hope that we have in him. Amen.